program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, August 17th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for taking the time to download this podcast or listen to us live at live.normal.org every weekday at 1 o'clock Pacific time. We've got a great show today. We are smack dab in the middle of legalization week here at Normal Show Live. We'll tell you all about that in just a second. But first, let's go out to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, where our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie, is awaiting by the bridge out there by the Goonies house. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great today. Beautiful summer day. I hope everyone's having a good summer.
I know. It's amazing out here in the Pacific Northwest. Not a cloud in the sky. It's just gorgeous. Temperatures in the high 70s, low 80s coming up here for Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend, August 19th, 20th, and 21st. We'll be there, and I've got an updated Normal schedule posted. You can go to normal.org and scroll down just a little bit. You'll find the Normal speaker schedule. You'll find out when I and Keith Straub and Alan St. Pierre and Rick Steves and all the wonderful Normal speakers will be appearing at the Seattle Hemp Fest. Check that out. It's at normal.org. Now, as we begin the show, we always start off with our hemp headlines right after the first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, today I'm going to have some more news about Montel Williams. You know, we always like to keep tabs on him now that he's not doing talk shows anymore, find out what he's up to. Also, an unbelievable story, at least I think so, about the power of mothers. That's going to be also on the headlines, but we're going to start off for you football fans, and specifically for you duck fans. We have a story about some Oregon ducks that got into a little bit of trouble driving too fast.
Oh, yeah. We've got some exclusive video from our local TV station that we'll be playing for you on that one. Plus, I've got a video that I produced just yesterday with respect to Mr. Obama's stammering on the marijuana legalization question. It's kind of a greatest hits of Barack Obama on marijuana, and I'll show that at the end of the news segment. Today is our Irie Wednesday for Daily Toker Tunes, so at 20 after the hour, we're going to get some great Irie music with our editor, NorCal Perps, who's bringing us some music from J Boog. It's his cover of Ganja Farmer. Then, at half past, as we always do on Wednesdays, we have our Cannabis Science segment. We'll visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from SUNY Albany, one of America's leading researchers on cannabis and the social aspects and the chemical aspects and the health aspects. If you got a question, Dr. Mitch can probably answer it or find someone who can. And then at 45 past, it is legalization week, and we already spoke on Monday with Oregon activists, on Tuesday with California activists. Today we go to the mile high. We go to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. We'll speak with Mason Tvert from Safer, the Safer Alternatives for Enjoyable Recreation. It's also with Sensible Colorado and an amendment they are proposing called the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Amendment. So we will check that out at 45 past. All that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live. We are the voice of the marijuana nation, and you can always get our podcast available through iTunes or go to our blog at stash.normal.org and download or listen on demand. We also have plenty of videos posted up there and other news stories we don't have time for here on the show. All right, stay tuned. We're back right after this with the news.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Some Oregon Duck football players got in a little trouble early Sunday morning. Cliff Harris and Darren Thomas were pulled over by the Oregon State Police at 4:30 in the morning for going 118 miles an hour in their rented 2011 Nissan Altima. Now, Harris was driving at the time and was eventually fined $1,600, a fine that his family came and paid. The police dashboard cam showed that the officer was hitting speeds of 141 miles just to catch them. Once the police did turn on their lights, though, the college student football players pulled over immediately. The police asked them during the stop, who's got the marijuana? We'll let you know more about that in a minute. But Cliff Harris, as it turns out, was driving with a suspended license. And today, the University of Oregon football team did announce that they have suspended Cliff Harris indefinitely. KATU News has the entire dashboard cam, and we're going to show you a portion of that now.
A big story we are following tonight from the On Your Side of investigators revealing video, a star Oregon football player behind the wheel of a car flying down I-5. We uncovered two things that have been secret since June. The star quarterback was in the passenger seat.
And the trooper suspected somebody was smoking marijuana. It's a story On Your Side investigator Dan Tilken first broke on KATU.com. Dan, the university is going to have to answer another round of questions here.
Right. It's that marijuana question the university may have to tackle, as well as why star quarterback Darren Thomas has a pattern of being in the wrong car at the wrong time.
It is 4:30 a.m., June 12th. In the corner of your screen, you can see the state trooper hitting 141 miles per hour to catch up to the Nissan Altima going 118 on I-5 near Albany.
Are there any weapons in the car?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You guys going to school, Eugene?
Yes, sir.
Who's got the marijuana in the car?
Just smoked it all.
Just smoked it all?
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that.
You just left the car, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Why don't you grab your license for me? Where is it?
I have no form of ID on
you. You have no form of ID on you?
The trooper quickly realizes the driver is star cornerback Cliff Harris, and the person in the front passenger seat is starting quarterback Darren Thomas. He threatens to call head coach Chip Kelly. Soon, a deputy arrives as backup.
You know who you guys are?
Cliff Harris.
Yeah, and Darren Thomas.
So which one of them's been smoking dope?
I don't know.
Someone in the car, possibly quarterback Darren Thomas, says repeatedly not everyone had been smoking marijuana. Well, Darren Thomas was also a passenger when former Ducks quarterback Jeremiah Masoli was pulled over and found with marijuana in his car. In 2008, Darren Thomas was also a passenger in a car driven by former Oregon player Eddie Pleasant, cited for street racing and crashing his car.
You need my pen back and forth, I want you to follow with your eyes.
The trooper gave Cliff Harris a sobriety test.
Okay, you're obviously not impaired. Very athletic guy, and you nailed the walk and turn. So you smoked a little bit of air, or?
Harris blamed the marijuana on his cousin in the back seat. But Harris had a suspended license. The only one in the car with a valid license was former defensive end Tyrell Irvin.
Place your right foot in front of your left foot on an imaginary straight line.
Irvin told the trooper he had smoked pot sometime earlier, but after he passed a sobriety test, the trooper let him drive the car and everyone else home to Eugene.
Now, that traffic stop lasts for just over an hour. The trooper debates for a long time whether to arrest Cliff Harris or whether to cite him for reckless driving. But after calling a supervisor and comparing what he had done in similar cases, the trooper felt the fair thing to do was cite Harris for that driving 118 miles an hour and for driving with that suspended license. Harris did pay that $1,600 ticket.
What do we know about the rental car that Cliff Harris was driving?
Remember, it was kind of a big deal that some people thought it was a big deal that the rental car was rented by an employee of the University of Oregon. Well, if you listen to the video, Cliff Harris says that that employee is actually his girlfriend.
Okay. Quite a video. Thank you, Dan, very much.
Well, reporters asked Ducks coach Chip Kelly about the video. In Chip Kelly's style, he said briefly, they've known about this, didn't punish Darren Thomas for being a...
Yeah, so I'm wondering how many of us might have gotten that same possible treatment to let go pretty much with a ticket for driving 118 miles an hour during the down the freeway at 4 in the morning. I don't think we'd get that kind of treatment. I know when I was a kid, I spun a cookie in a parking lot, and they cited me for reckless driving. I did 2 days in jail for that, and these guys are just getting a speeding ticket. It has nothing to do with them, of course, being star players for the University of Oregon that, you know, was second in the nation last year, you know, just lost the national championship by a field goal and, you know, is a big favorite to possibly repeat this year. Has nothing to do with that at all, I am sure. It's just a mere circumstance, a mere coincidence in this case. Nothing to see here. All right.
Advocate Montel Williams has applied to operate a medical marijuana dispensary and cultivation facility in Washington, D.C. Now, this would be his second trip into ganjapreneurship. Williams is already involved with the nonprofit group Abate and Wellness Center, who operate a medical marijuana dispensary in Sacramento, California. Williams has multiple sclerosis and has been a longtime advocate for legalizing marijuana for medical uses. Now, it is the same group, the Abate and Wellness Center, that has its sights set on becoming one of Washington, D.C.'s dispensaries. And Montel Williams isn't just an investor, according to Frederick Cook, who is working with Abate and through the licensing process in D.C. He told the Washington Post that Williams has taken an active role in the group. He isn't the managing director, but he is more involved than just financing and being the face of the group. Williams, Los Angeles-based publicist, said that he is not just a spokesman for hire kind of deal, that he's really involved. Williams has been eyeing Washington, D.C. since the program was passed, but he may have a little trouble in Washington, D.C. The law there says that people convicted of a felony or a drug-related misdemeanor are not allowed to participate in the program. We did report to you in January that Williams was arrested when he was caught with a brand new unused pipe in a Wisconsin airport. He was arrested and fined $484. So far, as publicists and those involved with the group think it's not going to be a problem. We will see. Those dispensary applications must be turned in by September 16th for consideration.
Well, on the one hand, you know, good on Montel for lending his star power and his money to this movement for medical marijuana to get dispensaries to the people that need them. But remember, he so vehemently said that he'll never be for legalization. He's completely against legalization. So keep that in mind when you're analyzing how he's making business decisions and how he's going to, you know, have those dispensaries be operated should he get control of any of them, and whether or not his aversion to healthy people using marijuana causes any conflicts of interest.
And three mothers in an Illinois town set out to stop a tobacco shop from opening their doors. The mothers all had children struggling with drug addiction, and they asked Palatine, Illinois officials this week to bar a tobacco shop from opening out of fear that their children and other people's children would have greater access to what has been dubbed synthetic marijuana. Now, it's really not marijuana at all, but a chemical spray that is put on an herbal incense and smoked. Sue Stott Tosilo told officials, quote, "You don't want to be on the road with my son when he's under the influence of synthetic marijuana," and added that bringing another tobacco shop in that will most likely sell that stuff is just not what the town needs. So, Tobacco Plaza, the new shop that had been planning on taking over a vacant storefront in a large shopping center, will now not be able to open their doors. You see, the village council agreed with the women and unanimously denied Tobacco Plaza a business license. Now, this would have been the second location of the tobacco shop. A police officer had also wrote a letter to the village council commending the tobacco shop owner's other location for refusing to sell to a minor who was working as an undercover agent. But it also came to the council's attention that owner John Wilson also sold a number of water pipes and other items that could be used to smoke real marijuana. Now, he does carry a version of the synthetic marijuana in his original shop, but he keeps it under the counter and out of sight. So you have to ask for it and show an ID to get the product. Co-owner John Jean said that the business is simply selling the products that were already in an inventory when they bought the store, and they have no intention of selling herbal incense or even bongs at the Palatine store. Their main focus instead would be on prepaid phone cards and a new machine that allows customers to roll their own cigarettes. They said, and they also told the council, that more and more synthetic cannabinoid compounds are being banned, so the owner said it doesn't really make much sense to sell it in the future. But council members were not too sure, telling the businessman, quote, "Well, if you sell it in one store, I have a hard time believing you wouldn't sell it in another store." So again, the power of mothers.
Wow. Does anyone else appreciate the rich irony that these mothers are banding together to get rid of the tobacco store? Not for the deadly addictive tobacco that's being sold in it, but the marijuana alternative that might be sold in it. So why are they not afraid of the tobacco part of the tobacco store? Well, like the story went on to say, the tobacco retailers have been cited, commended for not selling to minors. Maybe they could learn this lesson that by regulating things, by having controls over them and checking IDs, this could be a better way to deal with other things like marijuana. And if you have that regulated marijuana market, there's no need for synthetic alternatives. All right. Thanks, Carrie, for the news. I wanted to bring up a video that I worked on last night. It's been a long time since I've put video together because I tell you, 2.5 minutes takes about 2.5 hours. So put this together, though, on Barack Obama, since he had that recent quote. I had to chop up the video of him saying, you know, that he would leave it at that, you know, the medical marijuana quote. And Paul Armentano's done a great write-up about this in the Hill blog. Check out our normal blog at blog.normal.org, and you'll see the part about President Obama stammering and Paul's excellent write-up of that, and it's got the video of just that part, and you can click onto the Hill blog, and that's the blog that congressmen read. That's the blog that lawmakers up in Washington, D.C., and pundits and lobbyists, that's what they're reading, right? So get out there to that blog, leave your comments on there, be polite, be intelligent, and do your best. So I took that video, and I made it a part of a larger video that I'm kind of calling Obama's greatest hits on marijuana, I guess. This is called Barack Obama, Leave It at That. Enjoy.
In terms of legalization of drugs, I think that the battle, the war on drugs has been an utter failure. And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
When it comes to medical marijuana, what I'm not going to be doing is using Justice Department resources to try to circumvent state laws on this issue. We've got a lot of things for our law enforcement officers to deal with. Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
There was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but The answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So,
sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate. I am not in favor of legalization.
If you can't legalize marijuana, why can't we just legalize medical marijuana to help the people that need it?
Well, you know, a lot of states are making decisions about medical marijuana. As a controlled substance, the issue then is, you know, is it being prescribed by a doctor as opposed to, you know, well, I'll leave it at that.
All right, folks, 20 after the hour, we're going to take a break. We'll fix some things in post for the podcast. And when we come back, it's IRE Wednesday with NorCal Perps.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hey, Tokers, this is Radical Russ encouraging you to check out the great music this summer. And one group you should definitely check out are big supporters of normal and marijuana legalization, and that's Slightly Stupid. Get all the details online at seedlesssummertour.com. Slightly Stupid.
We don't need no cocaine.
Revolution.
I wanna
dance. And Cisco. It's the stoniest show of the summer, coming to Missoula, Boise, Redmond, Washington, Eugene and Jacksonville, Oregon, Lake Tahoe, Berkeley, San Diego, Salt Lake City, Aspen, Denver, Asbury Park, Guilford, New Hampshire, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, Baltimore, Charlotte, Cocoa Beach, Boca Raton, St. Augustine, Atlanta, Raleigh, Columbus, Ohio, Chicago, Mesa, Arizona, and Irvine, California. Don't miss it. For more details, visit SeedlessSummerTour.com. Seedless Summer Tour is sponsored by Seedless.com, Sector 9, Groove Shark, Revolution Vodka, and Silver Surfer Vaporizers.
Hey, this is John Papa. You're listening to the Normal Show Live.
Legalize it. Don't criticize it.
This is Peter Tosh for Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Did you know that more than 400,000 Americans were arrested last year for the possession of marijuana? People are being sentenced to up to 40 years for even standing beside a joint. Well, I think it is definitely time for you to help doing something towards this. To find out what you can do, just write NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L.
1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006. That's 1600 K Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 2006.
Help normal to help protect your rights.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for IRE Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, for our Daily Toker Tunes, we go down to Northern California, and our good friend Kyle NorCal Perps is hanging out down there on the Skype. How you doing?
Not too bad, Russ. How you doing?
Is everything good with the Red Team 6, my away team?
Yeah, everything's going well out here. We're doing well. Got all the plants up and going, you know, getting ready for harvest season coming upon us. So,
excellent. And are you making your way back north for Seattle Hemp Fest this weekend?
Yes, I'm actually just packing. I just got back last night from my camping trip and heading off tomorrow to head up to come see you guys.
Right on. It's going to be a good time. The 20th anniversary Hemp Fest. We're going to have all sorts of backstage coverage and interviews and bands and all sorts of giveaways and such. Check it out all weekend long at live.normal.org, and we'll have it posted on the blog as well, stash.normal.org. You got a Twitter handle for people to follow you while you're up there?
Yes, it's at NorCalPerps.
Right on.
On Twitter, so
yeah, people. If you're not on the Twitter, here's a place where Twitter really makes sense. Seattle Hemp Fest, because you're all out spread out in this park, you know, all across 1.6 miles. There's 150,000 people, and you can get your little circle of friends, like all our little crew that we're gonna have for Normal Net and Normal Show Live, like NorCal Perps. We can tweet each other, figure out where we're at, you know, coordinate schedules. Get on it. All right, so let's get to our Irie Wednesday music, NorCal Perps. What do you got for us?
All right, so this week I'm coming with Jay Boog. Born and raised in Southern California, Jay Boog embraces both his Pacific Island roots as well as the R&B influence from his neighborhood. In 2006, he moved to Hawaii to truly develop that island sound, and in 2007, he released his first album, Hear Me Roar. And with Hemp Fest coming up and harvest season approaching, I figured it was a great song to harvest to honor all of our green thumbs out there.
Yeah.
So here's Jay Boog with Ganja Farmer.
All right. Jay Boog, Ganja Farmer here on your Irie Wednesday. And check out our blog, stash.normal.org, for downloads.
Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come and light it up on fire, me chance. I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. Big stinking helicopter blow through the air. What then call it? Them call it weed. Them never did they want me not touching water. I want me did they flying fertilizer. Yeah, out in the sky them spitting fire. And I'm a little youth man with that hot temper. Me dig out me stinking rocky launcher. And in all the head is spent the helicopter. Me turn, yeah. I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. Me turn. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. Choose a bless I will not for good boys, man. To room me at the edges with the ganja upon the land. Make doctors kidnap medication. I saw them could give it to them situation. Make chemists kidnap medication. I saw them could brew new medication. Make singers get some inspiration. I saw them could spread your message upon the land. Me chances. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. Me chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. And me na ganja, 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 ganja. If you don't want to call it, I call it sensimania. If you don't want to call it, I call it marijuana. If you don't want to call it, I call it the indie. Coffee come me burning in the chalice, smash it in the paper. Lord, that's how me love me ganja. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it up on fire. Me chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon come me light it
a vampire. I mean a ganja, 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 ganja. If you don't want to call it, I call it sensomania. If you don't want to call it, I call it marijuana. If you don't want to call it, I call it the indie. Copy, call me bonnet in the chalice, mass it in the paper. Lord, that's how me love me ganja. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon, call me light it up and fire me chant. Yes, I'm a ganja planter. Call me the ganja farmer. Deep down in the earth where me put the ganja. Babylon,
come. You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hey, what up? It's the Dirtball from the Cottonmouth Kings. You are now listening to the Normal Show Live.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gum. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again first of the month.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now, here's your dose of cannabis science.
Well, hello, Dr. Earlywine, and happy Wednesday to you.
Happy Wednesday to you, Russ.
You know, I wanted to give you a chance before we get into any of the science-y stuff and the question-y stuff to maybe get your thoughts on President Obama's answer. I don't know if you caught that, his town hall there, where he was asked, if we can't legalize marijuana, why not just legalize medical marijuana for the people that need it? And he kind of stammered, hems and haws, and says, oh, I'll leave it at that. What did you think about that?
I'm afraid I'm mad at Obama about so many things right now that I may be generalizing from some of that to my reaction to this, but I was extremely upset. I felt like the question was asked sincerely and directly, and he did not give the same to the answer. It was neither sincere nor direct, and I don't think it's too much to ask.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that if he can't articulate what the policy is, then why are you defending it so much? It's just amazing. And Paul Armentano did a great write-up showing how he's denied the petitions for rescheduling, which would be, just having that debate would be, following their rules, right? We'll follow the government's rules as far as things should be rescheduled. Let's take a look. Let's get the science. And no, they deny us from doing the science. It's very, very frustrating.
It's particularly sad given some of the other things that have been approved for changing scheduling, some drugs that are rather obscure but are, I think, markedly more harmful than cannabis, and the fact that basically literally anyone can get opiates prescribed regardless of age or medical condition, at least at some dosages, and clearly we've got a plant with
five millennia of safe more. It just doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, it's just not fair at all. All right. We like to start the topic here with the latest in cannabis science. Any studies or surveys or polls that you'd like to reveal to us, or follow-ups on previous ones?
Some really intriguing new animal work on cannabidiol and vomiting. We already know that THC is really great for relieving nausea and vomiting, but some new data with rodents suggests that cannabidiol also contributes. And with no sense of irony, one of the things that they use to get these poor animals to basically be nauseated is nicotine, and the other is lithium chloride, a rather close relative to a popular bipolar medication.
That doesn't sound very good at all. All right, we have a question coming in from our chat room, and they want to know, are there any dangers for children in a home with a marijuana garden?
As it turns out, the only exposure to, say, fertilizer or dangerous electrical things would be common to basically dangers to a home with any kind of garden. I feel like kids are smart. If you tell them, hey, don't go over here, they understand. Particularly if you say, hey, you could get hurt, it's all fine. As far as, you know, are they going to eat a plant, or is something crazy like that going to happen, and would they be wounded forever or something like that? It's really not only not common, but not potentially dangerous.
Okay. And, you know, other than the typical childproofing things you do, as far as keeping the ballast and the electrical cords away from their reach, I suppose, and, you know, keeping these things under in cabinets, maybe locked away, wouldn't hurt.
Absolutely, and in fact, if you think about it, it's a little more than if you were growing tomatoes indoors, but a lot of the same things would apply as far as safety for both water and electricity.
Yeah, I think the biggest danger that the children might face is you letting loose that you've got a marijuana garden, the cops come burst down your door and shoot the dog in front of them. That's probably the biggest danger.
It's sad but true, and unfortunately, growers I know do drills with their kids, saying when the cops come, here's how you cover your head, here's how you lie down on the floor, and that just really makes me want to weep.
Yeah, that's sad. All right, we have a question here coming in from our phone lines here. 304 area code will add to the conference. 304, you're on the air with Dr. Mitch. What's your question?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you guys very much for everything that you're doing out there. And what I'd like to know is, if you're on Marinol, would you come up positive on a piss test?
Good question.
So it turns out this is related to some stuff we were talking about last week, too. So Marinol will definitely make you test positive for THC metabolites. And unfortunately now, with this new work on THCV, we can basically have drug tests that say if your test is positive from Marinol or if it's positive from cannabis. And so because the plant has that THCV and Marinol itself does not, people can say you tested positive from cannabis, not just from the Marinol. So times are really, I think, kind of a drag.
So they're kind of using the other cannabinoids against us, the ones we don't really think of very much, like THCV, CB, GB, you know, cannabidabidoo, all those. They're using them against us.
Sad but true. And the irony is, Marinol, because it's only THC, doesn't have a lot of the benefits of the whole plant because it doesn't have all the different cannabinoids.
All right. We got a question here from Trickster Phillips out in Missouri. It says, can you give a breakdown of the endocannabinoid system in a Homer Simpson dumb it down for me doc type explanation?
Well, loosely, we've got the most knowledge about THC, and there are the receptors CB1 and CB2. CB1 is primarily in the brain, and particularly the hippocampus, the parts that are associated with memory. THC comes to those receptors and is what they call a partial agonist. So it gets them to fire, but not as much as the natural cannabinoids like 2-AG or some of these other numbered things. So it moderately stimulates those areas. And then CB2, located more in the periphery of the body and in the immune system, also gets stimulated by these in ways that change the way messages are sent and have an indirect impact on some of the other neurotransmitter systems. That's enough to get you a feel for, say, why cannabis has some impact on memory in the short term. It also is related to some of the indirectly to some of the centers that are related to pleasure, and what a surprise, it does tend to increase that.
But isn't marijuana or
dope illegal?
Only for those who enjoy it. Medical use of marijuana is legal in this state.
All right, so we're glad we cleared that up. All right, got a question here from Steve Mares. Wants to know, well, this kind of dovetails into the previous question, how many cannabinoid receptors are found in the body? And I don't know if he's meaning how many, like CB1 versus CB2, but like in how many places in the body?
Oh, this is intriguing. Well, I mean, the ones in the hippocampus and in the brain are innumerable. I mean, you know, literally in the hundreds of millions, if not billions. And then the ones in the periphery are also, I mean, because it's, you know, individual receptors are also very heavy in number, but not as numerous as the ones in the brain, simply because the brain has so many more neurons. Hmm.
Now, of types, though, we talk CB1, CB2. Are there other CBs we're not aware of that we haven't talked about?
There's some conjecture about at least two others, but I think it's a little early to decide. Some of them look like they're probably just deviant acetylcholine type receptors, so we're still just focusing on CB1 and CB2 for right now.
Okay, so there we got it, CB1 and CB2, and millions of them all over the body. Okay.
Exactly.
This is a good question coming up here anonymously. Would there be any medical reason you would give an infant some kind of cannabis?
It certainly wouldn't be a first line of defense. There are some extreme illnesses in infants that cause a whole lot of vomiting to the point where the child could actually die. And there are some rather expensive meds that they can give kids in order to limit that vomiting that usually work. But if, you know, my kid were barfing to the point that she was going to die, I would certainly turn to cannabis as a last resort.
Okay. Great question here from K. Jones, 71. And maybe going from science into philosophy here a little bit, but I guess let's check it out. The human body, as a superior filtration system, you know, their kidneys and our livers and all, cleanses itself of almost all toxins in a short time. Nutrients and cannabinoids are embraced by the human body. Is cannabis, therefore, a nutrient?
It's intriguing, and of course it turns into that philosophical hair-splitting of what does nutrient mean. Mm-hmm. And when you push physiological folks on this hard, they say, okay, well, it has to be essential for functioning. And the cannabinoids themselves and the endocannabinoids are essential for functioning. THC and external cannabinoids from the plant are not essential for functioning, so I think they would argue, no, it's not a nutrient.
Okay. Interesting question. I like it nonetheless. Now, with regard to Marinol that we mentioned earlier, Gaza 666 states, you know, I read that Marinol has killed people. Have there been any deaths from Marinol?
I haven't seen any published things with Marinol actually causing a death directly. Unfortunately, because Marinol has no cannabidiol, it can lead to some odd psychotic reactions in folks, especially if the dosages aren't monitored closely. So our beloved pharmacologist John Morgan, the author of Marijuana Myths, Marijuana Facts, had a spouse who had cancer and was prescribed Marinol and had a really aversive reaction to it, was having these delusions that there were leaves growing out of her mouth. And although she didn't kill herself, she was really uncomfortable and really dangerous and really paranoid. There is some modest heart rate increase associated with it sometimes, so in theory, somebody who had a really serious heart condition who took too much might end up inducing some kind of cardiac problems, but I haven't seen a published case of Marinol actually killing anyone.
Okay. We want to remind everyone, if you don't get your question in on today's episode, we do this every Wednesday with Dr. Mitch, taking your live questions. Also, you can email Dr. Mitch privately at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And this will be our last question here. La Herbivore asks, my brother has leukemia. Is it really safe to have him consuming cannabis, or should we stick with the traditional treatment?
As it turns out, there are literally a half a dozen different types of leukemia, and I'm not this guy's physician or physician at all. But as medications go, cannabis is not a big harmful one. You have to think about, well, what is the prominent symptom I'm trying to address here with leukemia? And obviously, cannabis doesn't cure leukemia, but is he getting a treatment that is making it so he can't eat, he can't sleep, He has, you know, muscle problems. These are things that we know cannabis can address relatively cheaply and comparably as well as other medications. But, you know, it's not the lone treatment out there.
Yeah, I don't think the dangerous word in there is cannabis. I think the dangerous word is or. I don't think it's an or.
Exactly. Yeah, I think the idea that this could supplement some other work is completely worth entertaining.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, for joining us every week here. And we're going to go out to HempFest this weekend. Any tips for folks, besides my obvious, if you've seen my videos, that I need sunscreen, besides that one, any other tips that people need to know for the three-day festival?
Stay hydrated.
I don't mind if I do. Thank you, Dr. Mitch, for calling in. And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
It's tough talking to kids about marijuana, especially if you might be a parent who dabbled a time or two in your youth. So to help you out, get your copy of Dr. Mitch Earlywine's latest book, A Parent's Guide to Marijuana. Dr. Earlywine is an associate professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and an expert on the studies concerning marijuana, its effect on health and society, and the methodology behind the statistics. He is a frequent guest here on our daily audio stash. Dr. Earlywine lays it all out without the propaganda and scare tactics that parents know won't work with teenagers. He presents a rational understanding of cannabis, what it is and what it isn't, and why kids shouldn't be using marijuana. You can order today through Amazon.com or check our links at our blog, stash.normal.org.
The music take me.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car, whether to grow your own, how precisely to legalize it, or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Five of the last seven people to run for president and the last three winners have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. Normal, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local Normal chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, folks, welcome back. It's Legalization Week here as we prepare for Seattle Hemp Fest. We're touring all the western states. We did Oregon on Monday, California on Tuesday, and today we land in the land of the Rocky Mountains, the Mile High. We're speaking with Mason Tvert from Safer and Sensible Colorado. Mason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you here. And, you know, this 2012 election is shaping up to be one where there's going to be, you know, lots and lots of choices for marijuana regulation throughout the different states. You're working with one here, the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act. Tell our listeners a little bit about what that act would do.
Sure, yeah. In summary, this is a constitutional amendment that would remove all the penalties for private adult possession and limited home growing. It would also establish a system similar to alcohol in which there are licensed retail stores, cultivation facilities, product manufacturing, and testing. And it allows for the cultivation, processing, and sales of industrial hemp. So it really, you know, of course it's not identical to alcohol because marijuana clearly is not identical to alcohol, but it's really trying to set up a system in which it can be treated similarly. And by that I mean ending prohibition, starting to treat it like a legal product.
Mm-hmm. You know, as we've been going across the states and talking to different activists, while every state's different about how they're trying to tackle this situation, it seems like there's two basic theories at work here. One seems to be the let's take away the criminal prohibition of it, but leave it up to the government to figure out how it's going to be regulated. And then the other version seems to be let's write into the regulations, you know, write the regulations into the initiative. Let's get it all regulated before the government gets its hands on it. Of those two camps, is yours more like the latter, you know, putting the regulations in the bill?
Well, it's in between. I mean, I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head in the beginning by saying different states have different things because different states are different.
Right.
Ultimately, at the point where we are at here in Colorado, we know that simply removing penalties and not providing any sort of guidelines for how to be treated is not popular. So we have provided guidelines for regulations, but they're not very detailed. Ultimately, we limit the craziness, if you will. We say you can't, you know, set fees that are so high no one could ever possibly do this.
Right.
We say things like that to ensure that this will happen, but we really leave the nitty-gritty and the rulemaking up to the legislature, which is what's happened here with medical marijuana, where the legislature and then the Department of Revenue have really been the ones who have to come up with the details.
Mm-hmm. If the folks out there want to read this for themselves, do you have a website address, places they can get more information and contact info?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to regulatemarijuana.org and find the text of the initiative and anything else that you would need to get informed and get involved if you're interested.
Yeah, I got to definitely encourage people to do that because what I've found, you know, covering this now over two election cycles, 2008, 2010, I get all these comments and people coming back to me saying, oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And then I actually go read the text and go, gee, I didn't see that anywhere. So, you know, get it from the source. Go read the text. I know it's legalese to some people. You know, have a party, have six or seven of you read it over and figure it out and figure out what it really says and not what your friends think it says. Now,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, knowing what you're voting on is incredibly important, regardless of what it is. And not only do we have the full text, we also have a basic summary that people can read as well. So,
yeah. Now, Mason, one of the things that comes out, you know, that I hear from people from time to time is this fear of marijuana being over-regulated, Walmartized, locked down to just a few, you know, big corporate growers, that the little guy can't get involved with this. Your reaction to that, and as far as that would apply to this legalization proposal?
Well, without a doubt, you know, there is going to be regulation, and it's likely, as we've seen here with medical marijuana, to be pretty stringent up front in the beginning because it is new to people. But unlike medical marijuana, we're now going to be talking about a system where it is legal for all adults and it's not just a medical system. So right now, most of the craziest regulations are meant to prevent the flow of medical marijuana into the black market. So when there is no black market, there's really no need for a lot of these excessive regulations. But when it comes to, you know, who can start a business and run a successful business, obviously, just like with any business in the world, whether it's a restaurant or a boutique or a marijuana store, if you will, it's going to depend on whether that business is successful, if they are savvy, if they are able to follow the rules, if they are able to market themselves well. And, you know, ultimately, not everyone has an inherent right to have a successful marijuana business or any business. So, we do live in a capitalistic society now. in terms of Walmartization, I don't really see that happening. It is really, you know, number one, it's intrastate, so it's pretty difficult to become that big. Mm. Number two is that the people who are getting involved in this and the ones who are able to aren't necessarily interested in trying to reach that level. Selling just one product, it would be pretty difficult.
Right. We're speaking with Mason Tvert from Safer Choice. The website is saferchoice.org. And for this Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act, it's regulatemarijuana.org. And that is one concern. You mentioned medical marijuana, and this is a concern that came up through some Oregon and some California stories that I covered, where the patients that have medical access now are afraid when these legalization things come up that it's going to negatively affect their medical marijuana rights. How does Regulate Marijuana Act deal with that?
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned patients, because we've generally never seen or heard any significant concerns amongst patients, but more of the expressed concern, which we haven't seen a lot of, but would be amongst those involved in the marijuana industry. And ultimately, what this would do is dramatically benefit patients, because they won't have to apply for licenses. They won't have to show their, you know, license monitored and be on a list and the whole nine yards. They'll simply be able to go in there, show proof of age, just like when buying a case of beer, and they'll be able to get whatever they want. And of course, once it's not just a medical system, there's no more concern of being targeted. If, you know, every adult walking down the street could have up to an ounce of marijuana on them. So the notion that they do, they're no longer the sitting duck or the target for police or what have you. Same goes for home growing. So this really does a whole lot to benefit patients and a whole lot to benefit the industry, which is another story entirely.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've had a lot of success with marijuana initiatives out there in Colorado, and we see a lot of popular support in Denver and cities like Breckenridge and so on. Statewide, how is the politicking going and convincing people in, you know, Fort Collins or Colorado Springs or these other places that this is the right way to go with marijuana?
It's going very well. We've seen a lot of polling over the last couple of years. It's all been very positive. The last several public and internal polls have showed support for this type of an initiative at roughly between 51% and 54% in support, and really only down around 38% to 41% or 42% opposed. Obviously, as you get closer to an election, things change, as we saw in California last year. But we've been having such a large, broad, open discussion about marijuana here now for so long, over the last 6 years, which has been accelerated by what's going on here with medical marijuana, that people are just coming to accept it. They're seeing a marijuana store on the corner, and it just doesn't matter. They've seen police quoted in the newspaper saying, these are not magnets for crime. They're robbed fewer times than banks. This is not a problem. And they're hearing from more and more of their friends and family members and coworkers that they use marijuana and that they use it to benefit their lives. And it's really becoming more acceptable. So we're very positive going into this.
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of the danger that I had predicted the prohibitionists was in their mind if we allowed medical marijuana, is they'd see, oh, wait, it's really not that big a deal, is it? and so, sure enough, it seems like it's turning out that way. All right. Well, Mason, again, I wish you the best of luck on this. Where is the initiative at this point as far as signature gathering? How many signatures do you need? What are your deadlines? Anything that people need to know?
We are in the process of collecting signatures to get this measure on the ballot. We need about 86,000 ballots, so we're shooting for 140,000 to ensure we have enough once all is said and done. And people can get involved. You know, you mentioned the website, regulatemarijuana.org. And it's also important to point out that this is a broad coalition effort, and we're trying to get as many people involved as possible. We have a great core group of organizations and activists here that have been involved through the whole process, which includes not just Safer and Sensible Colorado here, but Normal at the national and local levels, the Marijuana Policy Project, the Drug Policy Alliance, Law Enforcement and Prohibition, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, and the list goes on and on. But this is really a historic, large effort, so we hope everyone will check it out and get involved if they can.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. We hear sometimes complaints, why doesn't everybody work together? We work together far more than anybody knows, and I'm glad it's getting some recognition. Mason DeVert from SAFER, thank you so much. SaferChoice.org and RegulateMarijuana.org for the Colorado effort to regulate marijuana like alcohol. And Mason, are you going up to Seattle? Will we see you there?
Unfortunately, I got to spend all my time focused here to make sure we get this thing on the ballot. I'll be there in spirit with you, Russ.
That's dedication, my man. I appreciate that. All right. Thank you so much, Mason, for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, that's it, folks. We got to call it a day, so we'll stay tuned for hour two. Those of you listening live, we'll do some more talking. And for those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Dang it all, come on time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down super.